Blake Rasmussen writes for Daily MTG. Daily Magic Update shows you what you want to see. Then he said on Twitter he likes podcast serenades. So from us here at Commander Inn, let's give some accolades. Rasmussen,
his name is Blake
Rasmussen. If he thinks it's clever, then his influence might be swayed. A mention on the mothership makes our hearts palpitate. Oh, and please support our Patreon so we can all get paid.
I'm Phil DeLuca.
I'm Nate Burgess.
Sean will be joining us later, and we are Commander Inn. Thanks for listening and tuning in, everybody. We're going to put a spotlight on community issues, but never, ever talk about three banned topics: religion, politics, and Hearthstone. If Sean Watson were here, this is where he would say, So remember to check us out on Twitter at Commander and MTG and talk to us there. We're also on Facebook and a variety of other of these social media outlets. This week, we have a wonderful show lined up for you, don't we, Nate?
Yep.
We are bringing you none other than a fun conversation with the dynamic duo of brewing, the budget bombers, the commanders of comedy, Andy Hull and Sean Tabaris from Commander's Brood.
Yeah, what's happening, guys? So excited to be on the show. Holy.
Yes.
Holy smokes.
We've been long time listeners of Commander Inn, and so this is like one of those, like, we made it, we did it, we're here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is like we climbed the mountain and we made it.
We actually feel the same way. We have been so excited to have you guys on, and I think you saw in the kind of the group we set up to talk about the show and planning how excited I was. I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect. I mean, I know we have a loose show structure, but like, oh man, your guys' jokes, our jokes, who knows what's going to happen?
Who knows? Exactly. We could break the universe this way.
Well, I hope not, but...
I live there.
We're going to be like, oh, there are commander waves because two commander podcasts smashed into each other.
That's right.
Anyone up to date on that science news with those two black holes crashed into each other and created gravity waves? Come on.
That's right. It's nothing compared to this.
Nothing. This is shaking the foundations of communities around the globe.
Well, North America, anyway.
Although we're missing Sean, which is disappointing.
For now, Nate and I will enjoy the parody with the Commonwealthers.
Yeah.
I was genuinely worried about that. So of course, you know, I armed myself to the teeth with some semi-automatic rifles.
Oh man, this is getting dangerously close to politics already.
That's politics.
Like one of the main, that's like one of the only rules that you guys have.
Yes. And we observe that rule strictly.
Yep. There it is. I'm looking at it.
We have probably some new listeners who may be brand new to Magic and haven't actually listened to you, let's say. I find that inconceivable, but it's possible.
It is possible.
Why don't you talk a little bit about your background? Tell us who you are.
Okay. Well, like Phil said, my name's Andy Hull. I am a comedian from Toronto, Canada. And Sean is also a comedian, and that's how we met. And Sean actually taught me how to play Magic. So shortly after learning this wicked game, I started looking up like kind of all other formats that we could play that weren't as like taxing on the wallet. And Commander was the one that I saw and enjoyed. So I guess the rest is history.
It sure is.
I didn't see Commander coming. It was one of those things. I got back into Magic and... to kind of help get my friends involved, I built a cube because I thought, well, this is a way no one has to spend any money. We can draft it. But then we ended up drafting from legit packs, and all of those cards became commander decks, and we just got hooked.
Oh, man.
Yeah, actually, Sean's Cube is kind of the way I got into Magic. Like, Cube was my first real format.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that is crazy.
And but it is solely responsible for the enjoyment that I had in those early days, because playing with the most powerful and the craziest spells and cards and everything is so much fun. So yeah, Cube led to Commander, I guess, I can see that, right? Like, that sort of makes sense, slinging like the craziest spells.
Yeah,
that you can't really play in sort of competitive formats.
Yeah. So what's that Cube like?
That one we're talking about was an early draft of one. I've kind of refined it since then. And even further, I've now begun proxying like Power 9 and just putting crazy stuff in there.
Yeah, I helped out with that.
Yeah.
I just bought a bunch of acetone or acetate or whatever, and bought a printer. And then we started printing off really good proxies of, the Power 9 and all kinds of crazy cards.
Are they foiled?
Oh yeah.
That's the only way.
Yeah, they're definitely foiled. Yep. It's actually the only way you can do it.
That's awesome.
You peel off like other foil cards, so you just have a plain foil with a proper Magic back, and then you just like print on some like clear adhesive sheet, and then you just stick it on very carefully.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
We were proxying this way for our commander decks for a little bit too, and then eventually I think we all just kind of were like, well, you know what, we can find other versions of this, and then that kind of leads into our philosophy and why we started doing the show and everything.
Yeah.
Budgets.
What is it that drove you to do the budget brews?
I'll speak for myself. My instinct is for sure budget, right? I would get tired of a commander deck if I only had one or two. And if I, tricked it out and foiled everything and had $30 cards, I wouldn't be able to make more than one or two. So I just love the flexibility of it. And I've got a bunch of cards that are worth a buck or two. So when you fit those into it, you really need to spend another 10, 15 to complete the deck.
For me, yeah, obviously that is one of the main reasons as well. But for me, I was listening to a lot of Commander podcasts and reading a lot of stuff, online. And Josh and Jimmy, of course, Command Zone.
Yep.
Great podcast. We all know that. You guys as well. And a previous podcast that shall not be mentioned were kind of my go-tos. And I just noticed everyone was talking about cards that I don't have, I can't afford, And I don't really need someone to tell me that Doubling Season is great in a token deck, obviously.
I have some news for you.
Take
Doubling
a drink.
Season is awesome in a token deck.
Take a drink.
Yeah, exactly.
Sipping.
So it was, what, you guys play a drinking game? Doubling Season, you got a drink?
Yep.
Every time somebody mentions Doubling Season on a podcast, you have to take a drink.
I love it.
I love it. I love that. That's the reference I brought up too. That's perfect.
Crater Hoof Behemoth as well.
Yes. Oh my God. Exactly. That's the other one. That's like, okay, I get it. But can't you tell me one that basically does the same thing but costs a dollar or less? And not hearing that as much. I mean, everyone has their budget episodes and stuff like that, right? And Josh and Jimmy do it, and you guys do it, and those episodes are my favorite. So I was like, why don't we just make this a whole podcast?
Yeah, it's caught on. And I think, like I said on Twitter a couple of months ago, you guys actually have changed the way we do podcasting. A lot of us are now doing kind of budget conscious reports and not doing a budget rapport, shall we say, or really kind of taking, a budget brews segment, but really being conscious of the cost of these cards has become part of the show. Nate sort of forced us into considering that by tallying up when we did our value cards. He tallied up the cost of the cards for the first time. And
yeah.
Nate was like, his total budget was like $3 or something for the five cards he named. I was at like 15 or something, and Sean was at 33. Something really high like that. And we're just talking about five cards. Five cards. And yeah, so you've made us all kind of take a look, because it resonates, and you can tell by the size of your audience and the Twitter followers and how rabid your fans are, right? How involved your fans are.
I also think that the side surprise benefit is that it really leads to some really interesting brews, where if you cut out like the most obvious 20 cards, then you got to come up with something else. And then I find myself down these little paths where I'm finding substitute cards, but they make me think in another way. I'm like, well, wait a minute. This deck is now trying to do something different. What if I go in that direction hard? And it becomes a whole new deck I didn't realize I was building. It's really fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Previously, when I'd listen to somebody do a deck tech or you know, some sort of deck analysis, and even when we did it, looking at value cards, I'd always amass kind of the shopping list of cards I need to pick up. You guys do the same thing to me, right? I'm listening to you guys, and I end up assembling a shopping cart based on what you've recommended, like, you know, what you've covered in the decks.
That's great. And it's great. It's great knowing that your whole shopping cart's going to be 10 bucks.
If that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, because you guys kind of cherry pick which cards you talk about, and so you only do the highlights, and still absolutely amazing.
Going back to what you said about like when you guys were building budget lists and yours was 5 and Sean's was like 30 or whatever, like budget means something different to everyone, right? If you, you know, the more money you have, the higher budget is to you, right? So there's even more, like, you know, we're not exactly the kings of budget brewing or anything, because there are deck series and article series and video series out there where people build commander decks for even less than we do. There's a great series on MTG Goldfish that's the name of the author escapes me now, but he builds them for like $20 and $30. And then there's been a series on YouTube lately where the guy builds $2 commander decks.
How is that possible?
And I just don't understand how it's possible. I don't get it. You need 100 cards in there, dude. You know?
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't understand.
Because even if they're 10 cents a piece, you know, 60 cards is still like $6.
He probably doesn't count like basic lands, I guess, like, which makes sense. That's fine. But yeah, I don't know. Anyways, I've watched one of them. You didn't really talk about that, but yeah. So yeah, it means something different to everybody. So if you know, I think we're coming kind of right in the middle there where it's like, we're not ultra budget, but we're, you know, we like to keep it under a dollar or two for per card.
I like the segment where you evaluate the cards, the expensive cards, and, you know, really look at their efficiency to see whether they're worth it.
Yeah, the efficiency, or just whether or not they're that important or replaceable. Like, it just doesn't make sense to pay $6 for a card where basically the same card is 10 cents, but it's one mana more.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. You can usually find exactly. A replacement effect that costs, you know, a fifth of the price for one more mana.
Yeah, exactly. or something dumb, yeah.
And that's the whole point of the show, is just find something that does the same thing that maybe, you know, isn't quite as efficient, but you can still run it. And the good thing about Commander, the format, I mean, the reason we're able to do this in Commander is because the format itself lends to it, right? Like, you can run something that costs one more and is less efficient, and it'll still do the trick, right? You just have so many other players in a game that can help you get to that point where it makes sense to use that card or whatever.
Yeah, because the whole game doesn't end at turn 4, so, like, you have time to do things.
Right. That's why I love the format.
Yeah.
Yeah, your show is inspirational. I really appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you. That is very nice.
I listen to it most frequently on the way into work and on the way out of work, so I associate it with that drive, and it's just, it's funny. Your post-show interviews are awesome, and again, like, when you're talking about certain cards, and especially cards I already know about, like the Primordials, I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, they're only like 50 cents. Why don't I have them in every single one of my decks?
Yeah. How are they only that cheap still? I don't know.
And when you're looking at cards, it really makes you put all your ducks in a row, count them before they hatch, so that you know how many eggs you have in one basket.
Yeah, all the metaphors. Yeah.
Yep. And so we're going to have a bit of fun talking about a variety of topics this show, and we're going to go into, you know, all I don't even know where we are going to end up.
This is exciting.
Let's talk about some news. Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's crazy. The first news is, Andy, you're in Los Angeles, so we're going to get together this weekend. Have you had a pastrami burger yet?
I have not had a pastrami burger, but I did have an umami burger the last time I was here.
Oh, did you?
Yes, and I wasn't super impressed with it. It was okay.
It's like a burger with MSG powder on it?
Yeah, pretty much. It's like a burger and a mushroom. It's like they just call it something fancy because it's in Los Angeles.
In other news, Sean Watson has joined us.
Oh.
And I am Sean Watson.
Hey, Sean.
Hello. Technology has deemed it suitable that I not be here on time because I have to be the most fashionable member of the Commander in podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Sean. Hello, Andy.
Hello.
Hello, other Sean.
Yes.
Yes.
Sean,
kind of
people
confusing.
Don't know it, but we've been playing Magic together for a while now.
Us? Yes.
Yes, us. Yeah, we've played a few times now. So
we have, yeah.
We're well acquainted already.
Well, yes. One of us. Me and Sean are only acquainted through the gestalt entity that is Sean's.
Yes,
Sean mind.
Our mutual hatred for people who are S-H-A-U-N.
Oh, I can't swear. But
even if they're of the dead?
Well, he's a fictional character. We can just pretend they spell it wrong on all the movie posters and in the movie's internal logic as well.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
We are in the news segment, and we were just about to surprise Andy with what may be the worst birthday serenade ever. Maybe we'll just leave it at happy birthday, Andy, because your birthday was yesterday, wasn't it?
It was, yes, it was yesterday. I was going to say, you guys better be careful. That song's copywritten, man. You have to pay some royalties if you sing that.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the people
Someone bought it and released it to the public?
The people that own it. No, it went to public domain because of how old it is. But apparently the ladies that wrote it, it was two ladies, have both been dead long enough that it doesn't matter. But apparently their families are trying to dispute ancient copyright laws, and it might become a cornerstone case. Yeah.
Wow. Well, we know they will be supported by various gigantic media conglomerates.
Yes. I'm surprised it's not Disney. It would probably be Disney, won't it?
Exactly. Oh, we want the copyright to extend.
Walt needs 10 more years of cryogenic freezing, otherwise we're going to have to defrost his head.
Sean, your Mickey Mouse sounds like kind of beaten down and depressed a little bit. his laugh isn't quite as upbeat as Phil's.
He's the Eeyore of the Mickey Mouses.
Brother,
give me a break, man.
The only thing we've really got left now is Star Wars, and we never created that.
No, you got Marvel too.
Yeah, but our theme park is over at Universal's lot.
Give me a drink.
Jesus.
Hello.
Yes, well, now we are all together. Five Commander players. Look at us all together.
Hang on. There's five of us. Why don't we call ourselves the Five Commanderinners?
Start a new podcast.
We would have to call ourselves the Four.
The Five Commanderin Brews.
The Five Commanderins Brews.
We can be the Four Commanders. Two Seans that count as one, right?
Sure.
They come in with Sean Bond.
Yeah.
Hey, how about that Eternal Master?
Yeah. In other news, Wizards just announced their summer set isn't Conspiracy 2 like we had hoped and expected. It is instead Eternal Masters. Maybe this will do for Eternal formats? Are they creating a new Eternal format that is basically Legacy without the reserve list? What's going on there?
Oh, man. I'm not smart enough to speculate on this stuff. I just hope it isn't $30 a pack.
Well, it's $10 a pack.
Right, but wasn't like Modern Masters MSRP like $6 a pack? Like, we're going to have to pay $20 a pack for this.
I think it was $9 a pack for Modern Masters.
No, really? Modern Masters was $6. It was $5.95, and Modern Masters 2 was $9.95. So they've decided that $10 is the price point.
Which was ridiculous, because the value of the cards in Modern Masters 2 was less than that of the ones in Modern Masters 1. It was what a burn. What a huge burn. Do you know I haven't opened a single pack of Modern Masters 2?
I opened a box. It was good fun.
Because of that reason?
Have you really? So you've stayed away from it just because of that?
Did you make your money back on the box?
I made a profit.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, like, and not even like out of spite, just purely out of money.
I made a profit on the box, but I was lucky enough to rip a chrome, what's it called?
Mox?
The Mox.
Oh, wow.
Which tone of Mox?
Diamond?
It was a foil chrome Mox.
There you go.
Yes.
Chrome Mox, right.
Yeah. It was a chrome Mox.
As an eternal optimist, all I can say is force of will for everyone. Yay.
Yeah. It's a mythic rare though, so it's not going to be cheap.
I just hope that like there's just great commons and uncommons. Like there was a ton of duds in Modern Masters too.
Yeah.
Okay, what eternal cards that people know of do we wish we had more of in EDH? That's the real question.
Well, that's the thing. I can't think. Like, I don't know what most cards I look at for deck building from before the modern era are like 10 cents anyway, because if they aren't the top, 20 cards, no one wants these. So, like, I don't know.
Mana Crypt.
Like, Snapcaster Mage is going to be in here.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe more Remands or something.
But, like, even then, like, that's going to bring the price down to what? $50 again, $40 again or something? Like, it's not...
To a certain company, buy every copy of it and put the price back up again.
But I do expect to see Snapcaster Mage. I think we'll see maybe a Mana Crypt reprint, since it's not on the not on the reserve list.
Are we finally going to get Damnation?
Yeah, I think this is the Damnation set, too.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Mana Crypt is not going to be involved. I just don't see it. I don't know. It's so like weird and rare anyways that I don't know, sometimes I feel like they like to keep certain cards like that, even outside of the reserve list. Although it would make sense, I guess. It gets played in what, like vintage and
That's what I'm saying. The two eternal formats that really like it are vintage and EDH, so it makes sense to kind of put it in there. It would be the first reprint. It was only ever printed as an insert in a novel. Book, right? Yeah.
It was a judge foil as well.
Oh, right. It was a judge foil. Right. Maybe we'll see Imperial Seal as well.
Bring that $800 down. I reckon if they did that, then that just gives less scrupulous LSGs, because my LSG would never do that. But less scrupulous LSG is an excuse to just to chuck the price up if they start printing $800 cards in it.
What's an LSG?
Local game shop.
A local store of gaming.
In
England,
know.
We call it an LSG. It's like MSG, but not as delicious.
Yeah. and with fewer headaches.
Yeah,
and a less umami burger.
Less of a hollow feeling after you've eaten loads of it.
Or you're taking a dropper and never mind.
That's awesome. So what cards have they announced? It's Force of Will and I don't remember the other one because the first one is Force of Will.
It's an artifact, yeah. I think they Wasteland.
Oh yeah, Wasteland. That's a good one.
We could get Divining Top.
Is that
my pronunciation there?
Don't you dare. Mm-hmm. Don't you dare.
Yeah.
Say divining.
That is actually
a div, if you call someone a div, is a sort of school, preschool term for a bit of a thick person in England. You div.
Not quite a.
Boop. No. That's one is a gentle word you might call your nan if she's, you know, lost her glasses, and like she's being a bit of a div. One is a horrendously offensive word you would call someone if you really don't like them and just don't give a bloop.
You know what I love most about that word is every time I say it, you laugh as if I've said something horrible.
I know, isn't
you
crazy?
Have said something horrible.
Yeah, but for us it's like, ah, oh, come on, you spaz, right?
Yeah, don't be such a spaz, man.
You're a bunch of
boop.
That is the equivalent. So many edits. I can just hear Nate is only contributing to this conversation by beeping.
I'm the R2-D2 of this podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
You turn on at random moments when the plot just demands it?
No, I just wait until it actually gets interesting.
So yeah, Eternal Masters, I wait to see whether it's actually going to be for us. If it's a set just for like vintage and EDH players, just to say, woohoo! Oh, they could reprint stuff like, this is pure blue sky dreaming, but they could reprint stuff like Animar and Kalia and make it so the Commander's Brew podcast has more commanders to use because they're not $30 commanders.
Yeah. Well, they
I actually
do
would
want,
not be surprised if they did that.
But they do want to make it a draftable format. So, you know, the fact that it doesn't seem likely to put 3-color cards in to me.
Yeah.
They've only gone 2
colors. Yeah,
unless
they want to also print a bunch of dual lands and stuff like that, right? Like,
they could do
shockers.
They could do filter lands.
They could do the filters. Yeah.
Yeah, we are way overdue for a reprint on those, and those are very popular lands. We might see an out of cycle print of shock lands, but they're probably reserving that for return to Ravnica.
Vacation to Ravnica. Yeah.
Pleasure pits of Ravnica.
That's the Rakdos theme.
The stopover in Ravnica. We'll just spend 2 hours in the Ravnica airport. The overall, the good thing though, like, the, you know, I'm sure there will be some good cards in there. I bet you a lot of the uncommons will be cool to look at. That's how I felt about the first Modern Masters. It's just that all the price of any of the expensive ones that they print is going to go down, and any of the ones that are now looking like $2 and $3, well, those are just going to go right down to bulk, which is the best.
I shed a tear yesterday morning. I was listening to, briefly, I needed to test something, so I was listening to our second to last episode, and in it I was like, oh, I have a Force of Will, I should trade that for some cards, and now I'm like, womp womp.
Trade it now before the price comes down.
No, it's already halfway.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that like we should all buy Force of Wills, right? Because all of those Modern Masters like chase cards went back up.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. And it'll rebound like crazy, right?
If you look at the comparable card, which is probably Cryptic Command, so functionable, well-played counterspell, that went from, in pounds, it went from £40 down to £20, then back up to 30. So
yeah,
it did find a median, but
yeah,
now's probably the time to sell if you've got a few. Oh, sorry, yeah. Buy if you...
Now is the time to buy. Now until about a month after it's released. I mean, after it was reprinted in Modern Masters 2, I picked up a couple of original printings of Splinter Twin. And that's been a remarkable investment.
Yeah.
Can we just say, get ready on that button, Nate?
Boop.
Anyway.
Yeah, seriously. And that's a topic.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you want to actually get into talking about that, that would be whatever. Anyways.
It's one of our topics. We will get to that.
Great. Yeah, we'll get to it.
First, now that we've beaten this Eternal Masters dead horse as much as we can, knowing only 2 cards from the set, let's talk about what we've either been playing or play testing. And so, Nate, you've actually got a whole bunch of stuff on here.
Yeah, so Sean challenged me to make a, well, Copain challenged me to make a Kalidus zombie tribal deck, and I did, and it works. And it looks a lot like other mono black zombie tribal decks, except board wipes. Kalidus has got a fever, and the only cure is more board wipes. I've also tested a Mizzix Goblin Tribal, which is funny, and it's ongoing.
I heard you mention that on that episode. That's great.
Yep. I've also got a Lord of Tressorhorn, Voltron, and Grixis combat tricks that I haven't tested yet, but there's a good chance of having a 10-4 commander on the field with haste on turn four or five.
Yep. Four.
This is why I love your deck brewing skills, Nate, because there's always something I've not seen coming. It's not like you're going, oh, I'm brewing, Mizzix, and I go, right, I know exactly what that's going to do. Oh, then, yeah, look, it's the Mizzix deck. It's Mizzix done entirely differently, and because it's you, I have a twitching sphincter of fear knowing that it's going to punk me. Yeah.
Surprise!
Yes, that's the factor.
Yeah, that's always fun. And for an upcoming Big Mana episode, I've been doing research, and I'm brewing a Jalira Master Polymorphist. And, of course, the Canadian pronunciation is Yellera. Yellera.
It's Yellera, isn't it?
I get what you guys are doing.
We'll
that's
get to that.
Canadian. That's Eastern European.
Andy went to school with someone with a similar name.
We I love that, by the way, when you guys just discussed on the air, like, and then rationalized how to say it. I think that's excellent. I mean, I don't
say how I'm going to say it, right? Yeah.
Yeah. We do actually, we have that coming up later in the segment too. I've prepared several pictures that I'll post to our Skype chat window. And we'll pronounce those cards as they kind of come up, and we'll take turns doing it.
Great.
If that's fun, we'll keep it in. And if it's, as we would say in England, and this needs to be beeped, utter schloop.
I'll give you an English idiom you don't normally bleep, but if you're English, it's offensive. It's a pile of bloop.
I have very sadly only been refining some of the physical decks that I have. I've been looking at the Mimeoplasm again because I'm preparing for a hot date this weekend. Andy, I'm sure, have you been in touch with Josh?
I have been in touch with Josh.
Right.
And other friends of ours, Brendan Halloran and Scott Ian Moore, both from Space Janitors.
Great.
We're all going to get together on Saturday. Have a
excellent.
Good game.
Yep. And on Saturday, so just to lay this out, since Andy is in Los Angeles, I'm going to take him to Frankensons, which is sort of the nirvana of magic here. A lot of the Command Zone guys, and I say the guys, I mean probably Josh and Jimmy and some of their friends are going to meet us there. Frankensons is a large flea market. I don't know if that has any meaning outside of the United States.
It does, yes.
We have flea markets.
For our two Egyptian listeners and our 10 Swedish listeners, that is a large market with winding aisles on folding tables, and people put their wares there. And some of these places are actually permanent enough that, like in the magic section, they have glass display cases. And generally what we do is we make a trip out there with each new set release. We buy a bunch of boxes and some stuff in bulk and then head out. There's a great picture of Josh and Jimmy and their friend Craig holding cases of Oath of the Gatewatch a couple of weeks ago on their Twitter account. So
yeah,
this is our opportunity to buy some bulk cards, sir. And at good prices, too, for singles, too.
That sounds so fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast.
I just put...
you got to get me a list. I'll pick you up some stuff.
I will.
I just put flea market into Google Translate English to Swedish if you want me to ever run it.
Yeah, sure.
It is N, and this is one word, this next one, N, Andra Handensmarken Snad.
Wow.
Robin.
That sounds exactly correct.
Thank you, Nate. No, thank you, Nate.
I wonder if that root has anything to do with anthrax.
Oh, God, you can tell I've seen... Deadpool, I automatically said, automatically almost said, what do you mean, Francis? But that would be Ajax.
No, the disease, because he said Anthra. I can't
it's
even
Andra
pronounce it.
Handensmarkensnap.
Oh.
Phil, God, do you not speak Swedish?
Sorry.
If it's a Nordic language, I'm going with that it has more to do with the metal band than the disease. So, and I think I've got good grounds on that.
I've just been tuning the physical decks that I have, Marath and the Mimeoplasm. And to be honest, by tuning it, I mean I've been digitally tuning it, and I have to go cram some cards in later. I did, of course, stumble across She Who Must Not Be Named. And I pulled her right away, and I'll get somebody else in the Mimeoplasm. Yes, exactly. We do need to hold a funeral for her. So, Copain.
Yes.
That's what we're going to call you, Sean, while we have another Sean as guest.
Ooh, it's like I'm a roller derby train.
We are rather obviously saving Andy and Sean Tabaris's decks for last, because we want to build the suspense and, of course, save the best for last. So, Sean, what have you been playtesting, and are you about to contribute to some other media form?
Well, I made a pact with our friend Bruce Richard / Richard. We need to ask him about that. That I want to change guild, and he's helping me, apparently. So don't tell the Demir guys, but apparently I'm going all Orzhov-y. But yeah, I am been building Aeli Eternal Pilgrim and play testing and tweaking that. And Bruce Richard, should we just pick one of the pronunciations on that? Bruce Richard has listed my deck again on his Serious Fun article, which is... Although at this point the article hasn't been released, so he might change his mind. So if this never appears, I apologize. It's super, super good deck. People love playing against it. They love having all their permanents exiled. It's just super fun. So, yeah, I'm very humble and honored that anyone's interested in any brew I'm doing, let alone people that print over at WotC. So thanks, Bruce. You're so kind.
Yeah, so you've been playing that a lot, haven't you?
Yeah, it's doing so really well. In fact, I got arch-enemied in my last paper game. They had to... I got killed by a Feldergriff. Killed by a sodding Feldergriff.
Mm-hmm.
I got... We've all been killed by a hippo sometimes, eh, lads? Eh? Eh? Eh?
Sean, that sounds really great. Andy, what is it you're playing?
All right, so I have been playing a deck that I built for the show, for our show, back when Battle for Zendikar came out. But I kind of tweaked it. I kind of took a different take on like kind of half the deck. It's an Omnath, Locus of Rage, and the one I built for the show was just a pretty straightforward landfall. Just swarm them with the big tokens that Omnath makes. But I also had Titania in there, and I had a lot of the land, like sacrifice lands and bring them back from your graveyard type stuff. And just a spoiler to anyone who listens to our show as well, I build those decks sometimes, but then I add like good cards too, right? Like, as you well know, the staple binder allows me to do that, right? So I put in like Life from the Loam and all that kind of stuff. But I actually took that out. I because we have a friend of ours, Scott Butler. He runs a Gahiji, the Honored One. That's basically just the same thing, but it's all land recursion and that sort of thing. So I was like, well, I don't want to just copy that deck. So I took that kind of side out of it, and I threw in a card called Hostility. You guys know that one.
When
a red spell would hit, it makes 3/1 elementals instead of dealing the damage or whatever. So I kind of made it around killing your own elementals and dealing damage that way. And we played it. So a couple, red sack outlets and stuff like that. And played it a couple times the other night. And, man, it was really humming. It's pretty mean.
Oh, that's brutal.
You get your Goblin Bombardment out there and, like, forget about it. No one can have anything on the board.
Have you tried the new Chandra in the Omnath deck?
I haven't tried it because I don't have it, but if I was going to sub a Planeswalker in there, that would be the one.
How many cards involving Nissa are in your deck?
Oh, mostly just the sorceries that get me lands. There's no actual Nissas or anything in there. But I did build a similar deck again on our show when Origins came out with Nissa, and it was all about animating your lands and making them kill. But yeah, I found a lot of cool landfall cards because of those two decks, and now they're all in my Omnath deck. And let me just tell you something: a grafted exoskeleton on Omnath is that's a mean way to win.
Oh,
God. I didn't think of that.
Infecty.
Yeah, it's not so nice.
No, that's dirty.
So it's things like that which has made Aelie Eternal Pilgrim good, because I can just sit there and go, don't kill my commander or knock my life below 50, because I'll deal with that inevitable corrupted conscious on Nekusar. Or now, new to the stable, grafty exoskeleton on Omnath. Thanks, Andy.
Yeah. You know, Marith.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. I also
crafted an exoskeleton.
Yeah, some degenerate forms of Marith could definitely use grafted exoskeleton.
It's also great on Nekusar.
Just terrible.
Yeah, just terrible. Just because we needed to make Nekusar even more hated and sought. Yeah. also, I just like threw together a pretty decent Shu Yun deck out of just mostly commons and uncommons I had lying around.
Oh.
And nice. I haven't actually got to play it yet, but it's looking pretty fun. So, yeah, that's what I've been doing.
That's cool.
Cool.
Am I going to see those decks this weekend?
You'll see Omnath for sure. I don't have Shu Yun fully sleeved up because there's still one or two cards I was waiting to pick up for it.
Oh, you should send me a list. I can loan them to you for the deck if I have them.
Oh, it's just like Expedite and the new one from, like, they're not like anything fancy. I bet you I'll find them when we go to the store. And
Exactly.
They're like 10 cents each.
There's a bin there. There are several bins, actually. I try as I might, I don't even make it one entire circuit around the magic area, because you'll see there are something like seven or eight magic stores right in this one little area that looks sort of like a lunch break room, and I swear I don't even make it around.
Wow!
Oh, I'm so jelly.
Awesome.
Oh, don't worry. We're gonna have plenty of pictures, and we are each going to bring a portable recorder.
Yeah, but I won't be able to smell it.
Yeah,
you're taking me to this place, right, Phil?
Oh, it's true.
One day.
Yes, when you come out after you are sugar high on Girl Scout cookies, Copain, we will then go visit this place. You, me, and Nate, and we'll stroll hand in hand, skipping through the parking lot.
Oh, blimey, Governor, look at all the cards. Ain't they cheap?
Oh, and
you'll
the
be
smell.
Completely high on LSG.
Well played.
I'll say this, though. Flea markets are not generally known for their good smells, so this will be interesting.
I went to a good flea market in New Jersey.
One more thing about this flea market before we really move on to what Sean's been playing. It's a collectible market. So it's not just magic cards, but it's action figures that go all the way back to like the 1960s. So if you need a rare Star Wars figure, it's here.
I need all the
Star Wars figure from the 60s.
That's great.
No, from the 70s, but I'm referencing that because we're all Star Wars geeks, as opposed to like we probably don't collect the 12-inch G.I. Joes with, you know, Kung Fu grips.
Yeah, because that would be sad.
You don't know me. You don't know what I collect. Maybe that's my whole thing. Maybe that's what I love.
Collecting G.I. Joes is for losers.
Oh, well, for Mr. Tabaris,
in the 50s.
They do have every My Little Pony ever made.
Sweet. You hook me up with Applejack. Is that her name? I don't know.
Done.
Applejack, I happen to know what all the new ponies are called. Because I work with teenagers.
So, Mr. Tabaris, what are you playing these days?
Oh, you guys, I am really excited. I got a deck I'm working on. We haven't done this kind of thing on the podcast yet, but I haven't locked down the brew, but the idea is it's all about messing around with combat, like basically just sitting there. And if people attack you, then you punish them. So I'm going to run a lot of effects that make people attack and a lot of possible defenders or fog effects or things that just ruin your life if you're attacking. Like Aether Spouts, right? Put all the attacking creatures on top of the bottom of your library. Or, you know, that like some sort of like comeuppance, things like that. And then a lot of those instant speed threaten effects. So I'll just use one of your attackers to block one of your other attackers and probably kill them. Or just a lot of like illusionist gambits to make you take a second combat phase but attack anyone but me. Just a lot of just weird combat effecty type of stuff. But I haven't decided, so it's definitely red and blue.
Physics?
Well, no, I want to do three color. It's either going to be red, blue, and I'm either going to add white and have it led by Zedru so I can occasionally trade away a little token and then just get extra card draw. Or I'll add green and I'll lead with Yasova so I can directly steal your creatures. I also have a ton of sack effects and like all the insurrection type of things so that if as I take your things, if I can't kill them somehow, I'll sack them for benefit.
That's awesome. Are you gonna talk about that on the show?
Eventually. I mean, we don't have plans for it right yet, but I want to nail it down. But I just love, it's sort of a draw-go kind of deck. I'm just going to be sitting there, and hopefully the other players will learn their lesson quickly that if they do attack me, bad things will happen to them, and that should buy me enough time to just kind of sit and do Curse stuff. I don't really know how I'm going to win, except for Insurrection.
I'll figure that out.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff like that. But no propagandas or those enchantments, because you can get around those. Like you can, because if I force your team to attack with my Bident of Thassa, for example, and you decide to attack me but then decline to pay propaganda, then you don't have any attacks.
Right. So you want to force them to attack. Basically, you're the puppet master, aren't you?
Kinda, yeah.
Find something in there that stops people activated abilities of creatures, otherwise they've got an excuse to tap down. But then it would probably hit you quite hard. But Damping Matrix would be a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What's the red enchantment that lets you choose, or is it the white enchantment that lets you choose to the left or to the right? We just covered it on the Command Erica.
Oh, yeah, the white one, right? Yeah, I have a...
Something treaty or something?
Yeah. It was printed in the Commander 2013 set.
Correct, yes.
Yep. Wow, that's excellent.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to... I built a one with white really briefly, and I tried it out once. It's a lot of fun so far, so I think I'm going to tune it up, try it with green, see which one's more fun.
Mystic Barrier.
There you go, Mystic Barrier. Well, you know, Sean, we happen to know a bunch of people who can help you playtest those decks.
Yes. Yeah, I got to learn how to technically get involved.
Yeah. It's not as intimidating as it sounds on our tech show, and we are happy to help you.
Oh, good. I'll be messaging you.
Yeah, these guys are great. It's very easy. I've done it a couple times now, and it's like, yeah, you get the hang of it real quick.
Good.
Yeah.
So
upload it to the hive mind, Sean, and you'll be able to pick it up.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'll just share your knowledge, and oh, look, I already know.
Yeah, but in all seriousness, we will help you playtest that. If you want to do some really rapid iteration on it, we can show you what our process is, and then you can make changes to the deck kind of on the fly, and between games, just tune it and see what works and what doesn't work.
Oh, I'd love that. Yes.
Yeah.
And we have a lovely circle of people we play with as well. Everyone's nice and patient for new people, and yeah, come on in. The water's great.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Will do.
When you brew for the show, how long do you spend on any particular brew?
Good question. Yeah, the build process, it depends on what kind of deck we're going for. The decks that are more thematic and really Vorthos-y take a lot longer for me because you just have to browse a lot of art of cards and things. But for decks that are actually supposed to work straight and do magic things... I guess so we'll start with maybe a color pair or a shard or maybe a commander. So then it's a matter of just brainstorming a lot of effects and just loading up a ton of cards that do things that I think will help this commander. Keywords, you know, like maybe buyback or unearth or whatever it happens to be. And then a little bit of play testing. So all in all, it probably takes me a good 3 days to get a deck done.
Wow.
Yeah, for me, it's way less. And like Sean knows this, whenever he comes over, I'm like, just finishing up the show notes every time he comes over. But I tend to do things more last minute. But for me, it's probably a good, like a solid like evening of like sitting in front of Netflix with my fiance and then me brewing a deck and her watching and doing behind her computer. And then the next day before Sean comes, me going over and like figuring out all the budget stuff and making all the final cuts. And then, yeah. So for me, I guess it's about like a span of, I don't know, half a day or whatever.
Yeah.
I need the extra time because after my first draft, I will inevitably be walking around and be like, oh, this is a card that has to go in. And it'll just change like a good 10% of the deck structure. So I got to give myself time to, you know, have those brilliant thoughts.
I'm decisive. I stick to my guns. But Sean's right. Yeah. For the ones, the really out there episodes, like find the ones that are Lord of the Rings that we did. It's like, oh man, there's a lot of looking for that. Like you're just scouring through every card basically. And then use a program that makes it a lot easier on us. But it can take those can definitely take a long time.
And so what program do you use?
We use a program called Forge.
Yeah,
it's like a single player thing where you can draft and build decks and play Commander, and
love it.
Don't mind playing against their AI, which is actually pretty good. Like I lose to it all the time, a lot, but enough. You know what I mean? Like it's not just a breeze. It's not like you're playing. It's not like you're playing against no one.
I find that Forge has the most robust search functions. Like I can search for cards and keywords and phrases so easily and just drag them over to like my sort of first draft of the deck. And then it's all visual there. The cards are visual, so I can just make my cuts so easily there. Like if it wasn't for that program, it would take me 3 or 4 times as long just to compile it.
Yeah, Sean turned me on to that.
That's always neat to hear how other folks brew. We tend to use a couple of tools as well.
You guys use Dekt, right?
Yeah, we use Dekt Builder, or at least I use Dekt Builder. I think, no, actually we all do, don't we?
Nope.
Do you guys use that on your phones, or like is there a computer like app for it, like an actual program?
It's on many platforms, and I use it on the iPad. I also have a version on my iPhone. You had to buy it separately.
Yes. Yeah.
It helps me look up cards when I'm, you know, because my phone is generally a little bit faster. My iPad is getting a little bit long in the tooth, as it were. I know Copain does as well because he'll occasionally post from Dekt directly to our groups. And Nate, what is it you use?
I just mainly use the Gatherer website and the Cockatrice client. The filters are better than they used to be.
I like magiccards.info over the Gatherer. I just find the interface a little better, but yeah, I use that often too. Actually, I have one right now in case I needed to use it.
I've got Dekt Builder on my phone, and I use that like while I've got like if I've got a lot of commuting to do on a typical day. So like while I'm on the subway, I'll just be looking through that for ideas for you know, ways to go with the deck.
Yeah, on the phone especially, it's very useful for just kind of browsing cards. But for deck building, I have to use a bigger screen because their phone interface isn't that great.
Yeah, I could never build.
It's as good as it can be.
I have a young man's eyes, unlike Phil, so I can read it on my phone.
No, it's not the size of the text. It's the interface controls. You have to flip back and forth between search and deck build, and that just is, it's unintuitive.
I've got strong, manly thumbs.
That's pretty cool. I was hoping you guys used electronic format because, selfishly, it will allow us to play test a lot more easily. One of the topics we wanted to talk about with you was sort of the state of EDH or Commander.
Sure.
Like, what do you think of the current Commander environment?
Well, I've been doing some thinking about this. I love that it's getting stronger. I feel like a lot more people are playing Commander, and I think that's great. But I'm also kind of worried, especially as a budget podcast, because a lot of cards are just spiking suddenly, and it's making me nervous. Like, it might not be as budget a format as I like in, you know, 2, 3, 5 years' time.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty common, like, thought, right? Like, we all lament the price jumps in Modern and that affect EDH, and we all don't like it when people buy out cards on online stuff, and, you know, Brainstorm Brewery will tell you not to use the term buyout, but whatever. You know what I mean? But I think it's actually not as bad as we might first think, right? Like, if you look at the last couple sets that have come out, there's been some amazing Commander stuff in there.
Yeah, there
have. And before that, it wasn't quite, like, they weren't designing for Commander within those sets before those ones. So we weren't getting quite as much good stuff, I think. And if we were, we were competing with the other formats, right? They'd make a great card for Modern or Standard, and then inevitably the Commander players would like it too. But now they're designing specifically for us, and I think we're getting a little bit more separation. The game's getting more popular, so the prices are going to inevitably go up, but there will always be those cards that are on the fringe and are cheap. So I'm actually pretty happy with the state of it. And I like the Commander product. I know some people think that that's a bad thing for some reason. I don't see how they could think that, but I love it. I think it's, like, the best, you know?
I think one of the problems with it when we had the professor on was that the complaints I've heard from a few places is there's too many staples for the format coming out of them. So recently Thought Vessel appears to be in every deck, and quite rightly so. Arcane Lighthouse and Command Tower and all that stuff. And it's diluting the diversity of the format. It's what people's problem has been.
I hear that, but that's up to you, you know?
Like, yeah, that's all the deck builder.
Exactly. If, like, look at mine and Sean's deck, like, we don't use those cards at all, really. Like, if you look at the decks from our show, like, Thought Vessel is an awesome card. It's cheap. It's probably goes in most decks, but we just don't use it that often. You know, like, we don't stick to those cards because it's boring, because of that exact reason. And I guess if you play in a play group where everyone's, you know, running the only cards that are good, then yeah, you're probably going to get a lot of the same stuff. But it's all about creativity, and it's all about what you like getting out of it. So if you are the builder who doesn't like to use them, go ahead, who cares?
Yeah, I also feel like
play with the stuff that you want to play with.
I also feel that, like, if you're worried that all Commander decks will become the same, well, if you're worried about that, you will not build those decks because you don't like those. And I imagine your meta feels similarly to you. Most metas, you know, the people kind of share a similar ideology on the game. So I don't see how it's a problem.
So you're saying that this will sort of be corrected locally?
I think so. Like, if you hate, yeah. But if you just love, like, man, every blue deck has Cyclonic Rift and this and this, and it's like, okay, you know, if that's what your meta does, then cool, that's what your meta does, and you obviously play in your meta, so you must like it, so no problem.
I know that if my last 26 games, because I've been keeping a little note on my phone, like, because I'm a sad man, only three of them have not featured either Meron of Clan Neltoth or Mizzix of the Igmagus. I can't say that word.
Among your opponents, or
that is really frustrating. No, I've not been. I ran Meron for about a week before I realized it being everywhere, so stopped. And I don't own the Mizzix deck.
That's got to be just like the new. It's, you know, they're all shiny and new still. So, like, give that some time. I think they'll wear out.
Well, I think it's also the experience counter mechanic. We only have five choices, right?
That is true.
There's no red and white one.
Yeah.
That red and white one is better than, you know, we all give it credit for, I think.
Yeah, I think it is.
I've been told that, but I've yet to do anything other than punt it like like a footballer kicking a football.
Well, it's red, white, and it triggers on 5 CMCs. So you just ramp really fast up to 5 mana, and then you can just cast whatever's in your deck and just get experience.
Yeah, you ramp up really fast in red and white.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
Red and white, yeah.
I mean, it plays into that commander damage strategy. So I know when I'm playing Voltron decks, I want to be playing loads of high CMC creatures.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but at least she's double striking.
I'm just saying it's better. I'm not saying it's good. I wrote a whole article on Brainstorm about how Boros sucks in EDH.
Yeah, it's
rough. But we all know that. A lot of us are upset about Modern because it, you know, pushes the prices up and everything. Especially lately, we're seeing the Eldrazi decks just go nuts in Modern, right? And just kind of took over the Pro Tour, and we'll see what happens now once the metagame sort of gets the shift. But I'm so happy about it as a Commander player, because all these cards that we're opening in drafts from Oath of the Gatewatch are going in Modern decks, which means we're trading them in, we're getting value, and then cards like, you know, the cards that were in the Twin decks or whatever's not getting as played much now in Modern, those prices are going down, which is also great for us. So it's such a win-win for us currently. If they ban Iyavugan, it might not be the same, but right now I'm looking at it with I'm real happy with the way things are going in Modern.
Yeah. The problem I see with the Modern Eldrazi decks is that most of the Eldrazi that are kind of spiking are in that mid-range cost, that 4 to 6 or 7 mana. And that's exactly the sweet spot we want to be at, right? Our decks generally don't get rolling until 3 or 4 mana in. And if you're green, of course, it starts ramping before that, but that gets you to that sweet spot.
That's true. But I think like for like a little bit of time here when this deck is, because eventually they'll either ban something or something else will come along, because they're not going to let one deck run wild like this in the format. But while this is happening, we can just get rid of all those cards. Well, what was that?
All right, we're back. We had a little bit of a technical difficulty there.
Well, is the Queen started using our internet, but we forgot these two guys are also in a Commonwealth country, so she hijacked their internet too.
Yeah, she's on our money.
So we were talking about kind of the way Modern was affecting EDH, and I think the last thing that we said before the break was that all of these fancy new Eldrazis, they're all going to Modern.
Yeah, and I just love trading them in and getting money and buying actual Commander cards. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I pulled a foil Eldrazi Mimic when Oath very first opened. And I was like, oh, you know, it's a foil. It's nice, I guess. Now it's like a $20 card.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, Mimic is one of the big Eldrazi in this set.
Oh, the question is, I need Jason Hall to answer me this. Do I cash in on it now or hope it's going to keep going up? Or are they going to can Eye of Ugin and it just plummets?
I always give myself like a simple, like, if it's $20, sell it. Like, if it ends up going to 30, fine. But, like, that's $20 in my pocket right now.
Well, you consider you paid a gumball for that card when it was in the wrapper.
One gumball.
Right? Yeah. One gumball out of the wrapper, and you can trade it in for, what is that, 80 gumballs?
Yes. $20 converts to 80 gumballs.
One jawbreaker.
In this country, they're called gobstoppers.
Oh. Gobstoppers here are...
Gobstoppers are... Jawbreakers.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're jawbreakers.
But they're actually called gobstoppers in Canada too.
Yeah. And in the United States. Oh my God, we found a common cultural reference.
In the United States they're called chocolate covered lard stoppers. I presume that's a recipe difference.
That's only at county fairs.
I can't wait to come out that way and experience all that LA has to offer me.
You need to come out here. We'll have deep fried Oreos.
Oh God!
Yeah, believe me. The wonders don't stop there.
Oh God!
Okay, so what do you see as the biggest? Like looking at the last. So you've been playing what? You've been playing EDH like what? 3 years? 2 years?
Yeah.
Right. What do you see as the next? Like, what's next on the horizon for EDH?
Oh wow!
Whoa!
Like this experience counters thing, that's really, I think there's a lot of design space in the experience counters. Maybe I'm not maybe I'm being optimistic. Maybe I don't know enough about Magic design. But like, look, what do you see in the future?
Man, that's a tough question. I mean, you guys probably know just as well as we do. I mean, I love that they design cards for Magic or for Commander, like I was saying, in the new product and everything. But sometimes they, you know, they make just horribly broken, you know, Aloros and, you know, Proshes. And while those are A-Li. Great. Yeah, hey. Right? It's like, yeah. So I just don't know, like, what else can they do? They've made, you know, they've made commanders that basically break the format, especially 1v1. I mean, look at, what's this called? It's the owl. The
Derevi, Imperial Tactician.
Yeah, Derevi. Yeah.
When Fleischer was on the show, he actually effectively apologized for the design of that.
Yes, I know. I heard him. Yeah. Yeah, I have a Derevi deck. I love it. It's really fun. So I don't know. Like, what do you guys think? I don't know. Maybe legendary enchantments making being able to be your commanders. You know, they've already done planeswalkers now. I mean, switching the permanent type might be something. Legendary artifact would be kind of interesting.
May I interject?
I don't think
we're going to see anything particularly revolutionary. If you look at the planeswalkers as commanders that we got from C14, that was like a little experiment. I get the feeling that experience counter commanders is going to go the same way. We might get another cycle that does the other five guilds, but I think they're going to use the commander product as an experiment space rather than, well, this worked before, let's try it again space.
Right. Yeah, I don't see experience counters coming back because once you have too many things that can use them, then that just becomes abusive together. Like when you have like 30 cards generating and using experience counters together, that'd be insane.
Mm. Mm.
Well, I played against having three of the experience counter commanders in play at the same time against it, and it was okay because all three of them weren't the commander. They were all in the 99, so they all just got punted out of existence as soon as it became horrible. Mm.
And you were playing A-Li, weren't you?
Yeah, I was playing A-Li, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a clue, folks. If you're fighting A-Li, just keep its life below 50 and it can't do anything. Luckily, it can gain life pretty fast. But
I tend to agree with you, Sean. I think that they're going to keep those types of things to these commander products. And if they release an allied commander set, it's. I think it'll be something different. I don't think you'll see the experience counters come back.
Yeah, I think unless the market is severely increasing, right? And maybe it is. Maybe it's increasing by leaps and bounds. I think what we'll get is after they do the cycle of colors and maybe then do a final cycle of either colorless or five color or maybe both of those, stretch them. I think we're going to see another Arsenal product, right? Where they kind of go back and tap into the pent-up demand for foil versions of the commanders that don't have them.
Are they not just going to do that with Eternal Masters, though?
Yeah, they might, right? They might. But where is a card like Nahiri going to get reprinted in Eternal Masters?
Fair point.
Yeah, the problem with Commander's Arsenal is that it's so much like the From the Vault series, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like they kind of already have that.
Well, they could do a From the Vault Commander.
Yes, they definitely could.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, they really need to give the foil treatment to a whole bunch of these commander cards, and the argument can pretty well be made that all we need is a supplemental set with something like 15 new legendary foil creatures, and we're good.
Yeah, like I definitely see that as opposed to bringing back this old product that they made, what, once?
I don't mean reprinting the Arsenal, although that would...
Oh, no, I don't mean, like, probably... yeah, neither do I, like, not the exact Arsenal, but, like, even calling it that again, I just don't, I feel like they probably wouldn't do that.
Yeah, that's probably so.
How would you feel, they would never do this, but hypothetically, how would you feel if they just reprinted the original Commander decks, the five that are now pretty expensive, all the Commanders from, like, Kali and Animar and all those people, if they just went, here, have these again?
It'd be great.
Do you know what? I don't see why they can't, like, just dip back into those color pairs but do something different with it. Like, they could invent a bunch of new teamer commanders but make Animar maybe the third string commander, but the guy in the front of the box is a brand new guy, and just have sort of a new teamer deck. Like, there's no reason they can't do three color decks just because they've already done them.
Yeah, I think the next cycle will probably be three color decks with some interesting reprints.
I would love that. I think that's great.
I'm going to predict allied colored pairings.
I don't think they'll ever do five color and colorless. There's that.
You don't?
No, I don't think so. How do you do it? They want five products, right? So what do? You do one colorless, you do one five color, and then what do you do with the rest of them? Like,
you would need to make five color commanders.
Yeah, and I definitely don't see them doing that.
Well, you need 15 then, because they have like three per box.
Yeah, they do.
Well, there'd be a sliver princess.
I don't think they're ever going to do four colors. I know Josh Lee Kwai will sigh at that thought because he really wants it, but I don't think they'll ever do it.
Oh, no, I think they're definitely going
to
do that.
I agree.
I think it's interesting enough to look at.
The fact that Mark Rosewater says one of his, like, one big regret he has is not making the Nephilim legendary,
yeah,
I think means that they will at some point make a four-color commander set.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe, and they'll probably do that before the five-color, actually.
Oh, certainly, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I think
because Zadahedron Grinder is basically a Ink Treader Nephilim.
Yeah, I'm not really super familiar with the Nephilim. They have cool abilities, I know that, and they like should be commanders, but I don't even really know them that well.
Yeah, I don't either. Hmm.
They're not legendary. Well, don't care about them.
So when no one is looking and when you're not brewing for the podcast, now you've already kind of talked about a couple of the decks you're playing, but what commander do you go back to? What makes you feel like you're at home snuggling with a pillow, eating cookies, sipping hot chocolate? Like, for me, that commander is the Mimeoplasm. Hmm. I just want to dump a bunch of stuff in a graveyard, become those things, and I don't even care if I win.
Yeah, for me, I think for a long time it was Caridor. Because I'm the same thing. That was the first deck I really like focus build and like actually spent money on. So I would go back to that all the time. But lately it's kind of been maybe it's been like Ephara, weird like heavy counter spells control deck.
Huh?
Yeah, Ephara. I don't know. It's I don't know. Yeah, it's tough for me to say, to be honest. It's one of those two, but I think Caridor is the one I. You know, it's one, probably like my favorite good old heartwarming deck.
So, Sean Tabaris, I mean, if you had to take every legendary creature, dip it into acid and pull them out and see which ones, were still around to be cuddled with.
Yes. I don't know. I think this new brew that I'm working on that I talked about, I'm falling in love with it. Like, whatever the final form is going to be, but I'm loving the way it plays out. But as for a deck I've already got going, I got a Sidisi build that's sort of a zombie thing and just a lot of fun graveyard stuff that does a lot of things that I like to do in a deck.
Which Sidisi?
Mono Black or Sultai.
Three color Sidisi.
Ooh.
Yeah, playing in the three best colors of Magic.
You'll have to let us know if that plays well. We were discussing that recently. It's very difficult to find a decent three color Sidisi deck.
Yeah, I know. I really like it. I guess I like that what I've come up with kind of has a few angles going, so it always feels like I'm in the game, like no matter what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I'll bring it to the testing grounds.
All right.
They're a bit fiery.
Grind it up and see if she reconstitutes.
I got news for you. All those cards are going to grind up because they're made of cardboard. And they will all dissolve in the acid.
We'll see. We'll see, Andy.
We'll see.
We will see. We will.
Yeah. I want you to know every time you do that, every time you do it, I'm right there with you, Sean. And Andy's like, no, you know, those cards are just made of paper. They're all going to burn. And you're like, nope.
Except.
Nope, they won't.
Yes. Except
the ones that are worth it. Yeah.
What are your favorite cards that... because of various reasons you can never talk about on your show?
Well, that we can never talk about?
Yeah.
Those would be expensive ones.
Yeah, like the Imperial Seals you guys
actually
know. Oh, my God.
Nah. Is that in your staple binder?
No.
I don't even really know that card. What am I talking about? Sean, what do you got?
One that I kick around from the staple binder, like I've got a Worm Coil Engine that will never make it into the podcast.
Which Worm Coil, from the Commander set or from the Dirty set?
I actually have...
Complete set.
I have the pre-release one from when that Dirty set came out, but also I also did buy the Duretti, so I the one that's in the staple, the pre-release one's in the cube, and then the Duretti one is in the staple binder.
Oh, good, good.
All embrace Phyrexia, blessed perfection.
Now you can scrub that off as they did, just like with the Batter Skulls from the GPs, right? Those are clean.
Just not complete yet.
For me, I have a Rings of Brighthearth that I...
Oh!
I had a couple of them. I bought them when they were like $4, and then they all shot up for some reason. And yeah. And so those cards are... That card is amazing. It goes in so many decks. And also, Oracle of Moldiah is one of my favorite cards ever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I can't ever talk about it. It's so good.
Yeah.
So... Oracle and Moldiah, can you not just, in your, for when you're doing your show, would you like to put Oracle and Moldiah in and go, I can't really have that, I'm just going to cut it and put in Corsair Crew Fix. So keeping the same effect, a similar effect.
No, I don't.
Much cheaper.
I don't build that way.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't put Oracle
yeah,
into
won't,
it and
I won't
go,
put
oh,
in
I can replace it.
Like expensive cards
I,
and
at,
then
at
try
point,
to substitute
I just
them.
Know. Right. Okay.
Mm. Check.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not the approach I use. I'll start with like sort of what my angle for the deck is. Like, what am I trying to do? Am I trying to reanimate? Am I trying to do this or that? And then I'll just kind of start from the ground up. And then, you know, I may get to a point where I could consider like, well, if it's a land deck where I want to just get lands out, for example, we did a Battle for Zendikar one, and I put a Mina and Den deck together, and it wants to get lands out fast. Oracle would go perfectly in there, but I just, you know, didn't consider it. But I would never come across it for like a regular green deck that wasn't doing that specifically.
Yeah, and just from doing the show now, I just know a bunch of cards that are like basic swaps of it anyway. So yeah, like Corsair Crew Fix is actually on the higher end for us of price, by the way. But like I found cards like Gaia's Touch and you know, there's the ones that tap and let you put other lands out and that sort of thing. So I think we've kind of trained ourselves to not even to just know that we needed Oracle of Moldiah, but not even actually look at it.
Right. So you kind of conditioned yourself to not even rely on it.
Exactly.
Think about the C15 set, right? The Commander 2015 set. And most of those commanders, with a couple of exceptions, are decently priced. But which one is your favorite? Sean, why don't you go first?
I'm drawn to Mizzix, but I feel like it's become degenerate already. Like, I already feel like it's kind of boring. So I may try a different brew of it outside of him. I don't remember the name. I haven't brewed this deck yet. The black-green one that gets people back from the graveyard.
Marin.
Marin, yeah. Marin seems cool to me.
Yeah, those are the two, right? Those are the ones. They seem the coolest. I mean, I'm kind of the same. Like, Marin is so good. But I think, actually, my favorite commander that they printed is Casito.
Oh, yeah.
Snake dude.
Yeah, I love that guy. Oh, I love him. He's so good. The deck I built with him on the show, I was just like, man, I've got to make this deck. But then I kind of already have it. It's kind of, that's what my Duretti deck does. It's the same, or sorry, Derivi. So I just slotted him in there, but I might just take that apart and make it a Casito deck. So
yeah,
I don't know. I love the, he's actually has way more versatility than it looks, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. It looks like he just wants to be either like a Voltron or something like that, but actually he does a lot of cool stuff.
I built a Snake Tribal deck using Casito and ended up, the Snakes were secondary because I realized what a powerful Voltron commander he is.
Yeah.
Because every time he hits, he's hitting for like 5 points of damage, minimum.
And yeah, I kind of started the same thing. I started making it snakes, and then I was like, actually, you know what? Forget these snakes.
Unblockable commanders tend to be pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah, Sean had a Karlov deck that was ridiculously vicious. And
I took it apart because it was too good.
Oh, really? Yeah. My Karlov deck is nice. It's probably around it's around 75%. No, you played against it, Sean. We played online. And other Sean, both Seans have played against
it. Yeah, I've played against it. My Karlov deck was probably about 90% and it had zero cheaters in it.
Nice.
And I was like, well, that's where the missing 10% is. missing all, you know, the extra 15% was something else. But I was regularly just going, well, Karlov's at like 30-30 now within turn 8. Yeah. And I've got a Rogue's Passage, so boom.
Yeah, bye.
Or I've got enough counters on him to exile my way through any board state. So I took it apart. It was just I'm not a huge fan of commander damage sort of strategies. And I know there's a difference between Voltron and commander damage strategies. Mm. I just find they're a little bit they're fine, but the opponent, no one ever enjoys being killed by commander damage unless they're on like 200 life or something.
Yeah, so, man, I just felt it should have been like you get one counter and you take off 3 to exile. Like, just the fact that it's doubled to 2 and 6 just makes it crazy.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
By comparison, it was tame, but still a nasty deck. Nate built an Azuri Infect deck. Yeah, exactly.
I built an Infect deck. I built a Mimeoplasm Infect deck, and it's killer the less people you have, but I played it in a 5-person game, and it was like, it's not super impressive, really.
Yeah, because once you come out as Infect, you have to be able to kill everybody all at once.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. But that was even without everyone turning on me because I was the Infect person. Like, it just wasn't really able to do everything it wanted to. So that's kind of good, though. I actually don't mind that at all. As the person who has an Infect deck.
If everybody turns against you, you probably deserved it. And you can see that moment where you're like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I overreached.
Totally.
Now, switching back to finance for just a moment, like, what are your favorite cards over $19? Now, you can't talk about this, I understand. But here you can let your hair down. You can put your feet up. We're just friends. This is the Commander Parlor.
Relax. Have a drink.
Have a drink.
You know what's funny?
Have a drink. It's Coca-Cola.
Yeah. Off-brand, please. Just the budget stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll take the Colt.
Yeah. It's Cola K or something.
Enjoy this complimentary Sarah Sanctum while you discuss this.
Yeah, like, I feel like... I guess I've always just been a budget player in general. Like, I'm not one to spend a bunch on cards. Like, all the cards that I have that are worth something are because I opened them at the time.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know, man. Like, of the ones I've got, I really like the... I have, like, the original Ulamog. He's fun to throw around.
Yeah, he is.
He is.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm like Phil. I'm like, green is my favorite color, so...
Yes!
I knew I didn't like you.
Green is my color, so I love doubling season.
Mm.
Of course, who doesn't, right? It's the best. So that's one that I actually, when I traded in a bunch of cards that I had sitting around that were all worth money, that was the one I sprung for. Sprang for?
Sprang.
Whatever the word is. Sprang. Yeah. That's the one I went, yeah, give me that $30 card. For treating.
Did someone say doubling season?
Drink.
Have one.
Give me a sip of that Colt.
Yeah. Give me that diet Colt.
That's awesome.
Need the RC Cola.
This is an opportunity to ask our first listener question because it's related.
Ooh.
Ooh.
And it comes from listener Josh Lee Kwai, who is at Josh Lee Kwai.
Friend of the show.
Yes, friend of the show. He says, I've got one for the Commander's Brew guys. What's the card that each of you has secretly spent the most dollars on, and how much?
Oh, I just named mine. 30
doubling season.
$30 Canadian for a doubling season.
Whoa.
That's like 12 mind you, pounds.
Yeah, mind you, it was trade-in value, so I didn't actually spend like cash money on it, you know?
Oh.
So that's not true. I bought an Elspeth that was like $15 once, and I was like, do I really need this? And then decided yes.
I'm really hoping Tabaris turns around now and says, like, Black Lotus.
Yeah, no, I wish. No, man, I think the most I spent cash on, I probably bought, like, what does Bonfire of the Damned go for? What, like, $8, something like that? I'm super cheap with the cards.
Yeah, Sean is cheaper than I am, for sure. No question about it. I'm the spendier of the two of us.
We're asking two performers, aren't we? Artists.
Right, right.
And they've never got any money, so...
That's exactly it, dude. That's exactly it.
Yes, we got to stretch it.
Those of us that are professionals, that's me and Phil and Nate when he wants to, we can afford nice things, unlike you starving art types. Bonfire of the Damned is currently $4.32.
What?
There you go. I also recall recently spending about $6 on an Erebos.
Ooh. Erebos is up at $6?
Yeah. I don't know. That's what I feel I paid for it.
Oh, man. Hang on. I just bought some Japanese Ereboses for like $2, so.
Sweet.
Yay.
The Erebos, God of the Damned, is currently $5.89. Ooh, bust in the bank.
Oh no, all the gods are going up.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've seen Kuranos recently. Anybody want to guess what that price is before you look it up?
Well, he's red and blue, 35. So he's in the modern colors. So I'm gonna guess $10.
He's in sideboards. I think he's like $30.
I think you've overshot.
I say $9.
Nate, your guess on Kuranos of the Storms?
My guess, I haven't looked yet, but my guess is he is at $20.
Okay,
let's see what TCG Mid says.
Everyone listens to people checking prices on the internet.
Oh, wait, he's down. He's $8.30 plus $3 shipping, so $11.
I've got him at TCG Player Mid $13.35. Quick, buy them at $8.
Yeah, seriously. Oh well,
God,
I'm looking
foil
at the low.
Is $96.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Jesus H. Don't Christ.
Makes me wish I had opened more Journey into Nyx.
No, nobody opened that set. Sorry, Flesh.
Well, that's part of the reason he's so. They're also high priced there.
Yeah.
No one's buying Farika, though. Ha ha ha.
Oh, God, she is the lousiest.
She's good if you misread her. If you read her as any time a creature goes to the graveyard, you get a snake.
You
she's
get
fantastic.
It, yeah.
But yeah, then you reread her and you go, oh, that sucks.
Yeah. I would say she's even worse than Melek.
Yes, I agree.
So anybody who disagrees with that should write to cass@commanderandmtg.com, or even better yet...
That is commandersbrew@gmail.com.
There you go.
commandersbrew@gmail.com. Tell them all about your Farika God of Affliction stories. Although, ironically, the one person who's ever come out in defense of Farika is friend of the Commander's Brew, Johnny Crest.
Yes. Yeah, you guys have a very special relationship.
We do. He's our first giveaway winner, and he like sent us a bunch of cards. Great dude.
Yeah.
Love him.
Yeah. I'm sure those two facts are unrelated.
They honestly are. Me and Sean were like, should we, like, man, it's going to sound like we rigged this. Like, should we just... And I'm like, no, he won fair and square. Like, we can't not do it, right? Then we are rigging it, right? So...
Yeah.
I submitted my iTunes review under a proxy account, so if I win it, you don't get accused of having pod nepotism.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, I use 3 accounts, but... Didn't. So what a shock. I can imagine how that selection process went. Like, okay, let's put all the names on a slip and let's put them in a hat and see which one comes out. Like, I'm sure that's the way you guys did it anyway. And then you pull a name out and you're like, not Johnny Crass. Sean Watson. Nope, not Johnny Crass.
Yeah. We've heavily filtered. Yeah.
Yeah. Richard, who is at Coalition 79ers. He's at Phyrexian 79ers, but I couldn't bring myself to say it the first time.
Hi, Richard.
What's the card that you have bought and sold and bought again, not for speculation, but for play.
Bought and sold and bought again.
I also tend not to sell cards. Like, I'll probably just keep them forever.
Yeah.
So I don't think anything exists in that category for me.
Perforos. I did that. Yeah. I did that to Perforos. So yeah, I guess he counts.
When he spiked?
I guess I didn't buy him. I opened him and then I sold it. And then I was like, I really need one of those. And I bought it again. but yeah, so I've done that mostly. I don't think I've ever actually like bought a single, sold it, and then bought it again.
You're very good friends at Magic the Podcast.
Oh, yeah. We're on their first episode.
They write, what's your favorite bulk rare finds and how amazing was it to be the first Magic the Podcast guest?
Oh, well, to be the first Magic the Podcast guest was a true honor. It's our first other podcast also, so that was really great.
You know what? I was genuinely upset because I was like, man, if anyone was going to force them to do an improv skit, it should have been us first.
Yeah, we love that kind of thing. That's good. Yeah, you can go listen to that show and listen to us painfully go through a very short improvised scene where Sean and I are on a bus.
It was like watching Greg Proops at his best.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, exactly.
That guy's great.
Yeah, I love Proops. Greg is Proops, great.
Yeah. He was the best improv comedian I could think of off the top of my head. Other than you, Mr. Tabaris.
Yeah, other than Sean Tabaris. Who has won a prestigious Canadian improv award.
He has. Improviser, it's true. Best male improviser. Yeah, yeah. What was the question again?
Favorite bulk rare find.
Favorite bulk rare. Oh, there's so many. Holy. I really like Hibernation's End.
I saw
that one. And like, it's not like an amazing, like put it in every deck card by any stretch, but it's a cheap, like creature tutor slash does like a kind of weird impression of Birthing Pod, which is like not an expensive card also, but it, I don't know. I love it when you get it out and then your curve just starts appearing in front of you. It's great.
Birthing Pod was an expensive card by a certain format. It was, yeah. It, didn't it?
Yeah.
Bloop.
So yeah, there's that one. And I wonder if there's another one because I always say that one. Sean, do you have any other ones?
None. I've got none on deck right now. I always feel like they come from Onslaught or something. I feel that's whenever I find one, it's always from like one of those sets.
Yeah.
We need to do another old set review. That reminds me.
Yeah, we do. I've been thinking about that.
Yeah, old set reviews are cool. There's a card called like, I didn't really find it. I guess everyone probably knows about it, but like, it's a green enchantment and it like you can exile cards in the graveyard for one colorless. Like two cards, and then you make a 1/1.
Night Soil?
Yeah, Night Soil. That's it. That card's really great.
You guys talk a lot about that one that grants Gust Cloak. What is it called? The white card?
Oh, yeah. Reconnaissance.
That's it. Reconnaissance.
Oh, Reconnaissance is great.
I always try and think of cards in like each color for these things, but I can only ever think of green cards.
I have a card which is my favorite bulk rare, which I always listen to hear mentioned on your show, and you never mention it, and it annoys me. And I'm gonna save it just in case one day I get to build a budget brew with a couple of Canucks. And
I'm excited to see what it is. There's a lot of good blue draw spells. There's that, and I find those a lot. I also found some cool artifacts. Oh man, I found one the other day. It was like, I don't know. I have no idea what it is. I can't remember.
When I was in Japan, I found dozens of Talrans for under a gumball, 19 yen, which turns into like 12 American cents.
I remembered what my card was.
What?
Sentinel Flute.
Oh, yeah.
Sentinel Flute is crazy. Pay X. It's like an artifact. You pay X and tap it and search for a creature card with converted mana cost X and put it in your hand.
It's get colorless out. Green shooter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my favorite trick I did with that was after I discovered it from listening to the brew was put it into my Kozilek deck and I'll quite regularly sit in a flute for zero and pull Endless One.
Endless One, yeah.
Yeah, funny. Oh,
you want to hear? You want to hear a rough story about Endless One, real quick? So
yeah.
I was on the I took part in the Puka Trade Secret Santa thing, and I was late sending my deck, so I got the deck from the guy first, and I looked at it and I was like, oh yeah, there's some neat stuff in here, and it's a bunch of stuff that I put in my Shu Yun deck, and he gave me like a foil End Hostility, so I was like, oh, that's pretty nice. So I was like, oh, this Endless One foil that I have is only like worth like $2. I'll send him that.
Oh no.
Oh god.
Card is worth like $30-$40 right now. So oh. Merry Christmas to whoever that guy was.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoyed it. Courtesy of me, the idiot.
And now he knows who his Secret Santa is too.
Yeah. I hope so, yeah. He wasn't an EDH player, I know that. He played standard, that's what he said. So I was like, well, this is a standard card.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, it sure is. Yep. So we have a couple of general category now, listener tweets, whereas before it all sort of fit into finance or so forth. So we're just going to run through that. It really works well if Nate starts this off. We're not quite doing a lightning round yet, but we probably should be.
Yeah, my household is waking up as well. So
Yeah, my roommates want to go to their bed and I'm in their room.
Let's do this as a lightning round. And Nate, you're the official commander in lightning round kicker offer.
Alex C.K. Zato asks, what would you rather see next as a playable non-creature commander? A legendary land or a legendary enchantment or what?
Artifact for me.
Enchantment.
I just think there's a lot of cool artifact stuff. So why not? Let's, you know, there's already an artifact that turns into a legendary creature. So I'd like to be able to use that guy.
How would you pay more to get a land in if someone killed it and it went back to the command zone?
Yeah, the land doesn't make any sense to me.
At WC Power 9 asks, are you ever going to brew with General Jarkeld?
Yes, we will.
We promise.
We will.
Commonly known as the worst legendary creature ever printed. So yes.
The trick is going to be, it's going to be when we find a second, like almost as bad one, so that we can each take a deck and brew.
Yeah, exactly.
There's that guy that you can only cast from your graveyard.
Yeah, he's actually really good in Commander. We recently came up against a deck with him in it, and it's insane.
But as a commander?
Not as a commander, no. In the 99, he's fantastic. But as a commander, I guess. But now there's a way to do it with the command tower or whatever it's called. Command beacon.
Yes.
Yeah, it's true.
Which is a $15 card, which will make your budget brew fun.
Right.
Anyway, next question.
Yeah.
At Reserve List asks, discuss the virtues of having an all sorcery speed deck with next to no shuffle Tudor design decks for that. What?
we're at the end of that one for sure.
With next to no shuffle Tudor design decks for that.
Yeah, there's a comma missing.
Okay, what are the virtues of having an all sorcery speed deck with next to no shuffle Tudor?
Design decks for that.
I'm just going to take that as no tutors.
Yeah.
I don't know what the virtues of that are.
Me neither.
I couldn't see there being any virtues. Why would you want to do that? You got access to instants. Although I guess if you're playing an all creature, like a heavy creature strategy, you're kind of already doing that a little bit. So
yeah.
There you go. You can put lots of creatures in your deck. There's your virtue. There you go.
Yeah, good answer.
Done. I designed the deck for you.
At Bugmutter, how do they go about building their meta base for different builds? That is an interesting question. How do you do your land base on a budget?
On a budget, it's easy. I don't spend too much time tweaking should I do one more planes, one less island? But in general, I start with 38 lands and I add in three of each pair's dual lands, and like just to go super cheap, I put in a gate, I put in the gain lands from cons, and I put in the bounce lands that tap for 2 mana of the guild. I'll throw in Terramorphic Expanse Evolving Wilds. I'll also throw in Transguild Promenade and Rupture Spire, and That's it. And that covers it.
Bam. Yep. Done.
At Mark Ocasone yep. asks, did you ever look back at a deck and realizes... What question is this? This is...
I'll read it. Did you ever look back at a deck and realize it wasn't as good or better than you first thought?
Yes. Yes.
yep.
yeah,
next question.
You guys just did two Azorius decks.
Yeah, we just
you?
Did two decks that we looked back on and we took them apart because they weren't fun. So there's that. But you've definitely looked back at lots of brews and been like, this deck is not as good as I thought it was at all. Or right. I remember looking back at I made a Marath deck just out of the kind of stuff that came in that deck and added just a few things. I was like, this deck sucks. And then I actually
you say nothing bad about her.
And then
I
took it out and I played it and it was great. I love Marath. Marath is one of my favorite commanders. And it's a girl. I didn't know that.
I don't know what she is. Actually, I think it's a male because he's farting flames.
And only males fart flames.
No, girls can do that too.
That's right. They do.
Girls,
yeah, but
I still maintain
only in the dark corners of the internet.
I still maintain the artwork on that card is the Great Forest Spirit from Princess Mononoke, like just done for a prog rock album cover.
At Dilek11,
which is my preferred,
has a problem with EDH. And that problem is, how do you do white card draw or card advantage that is not artifacts? Good luck, guys.
Hmm. Oh, well, you know what? I thought about this. I think the key is to just don't think of card draw only as cards that say draw a card. Like, you know, if you can search up a plains, that's like drawing a land. White also has a lot of ways to just pull stuff out of the graveyard into the battlefield. That's sort of drawing a creature out of your graveyard. So, I mean, if you just expand the way you look at that a little bit, you can do it.
Well said.
Yeah,
I totally agree. True,
but I know that doesn't answer the question, but add black does all those things. And
yes. Yeah.
But like, yeah, the best white card draw is Necropotence.
And that is commander in approved advice. Stamp that one.
So if you're Orzhov now, can I have Dimir?
Oh,
that's like giving you my ex-girlfriend. Treat her well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's saying yes.
It's
a big moment. I don't know. I genuinely have a strange pang of. Don't you always see? No, don't know what you got till it's gone.
Yeah,
you're Dimir, but you went and got some white. I'll think about it. I mean, I have to change my Twitter page.
Okay, I'll let you think about it.
All right. Don't think about it, guys. Don't think about this. What is your favorite color pair? Go.
Green, blue.
Is it?
What about your favorite three color set?
Bant.
Teamer.
Excellent.
Yeah, gotcha. No problem.
Yeah, that was good.
Had those ones ready to go.
It's
love black though, but I just love those. Those are my, I don't know, those are just the pairings I love so much. Red, I'm not into red though. I'm like not a red player.
Shut up.
I know. Sean loves red.
That was funny.
My least favorite color pair is Sean's favorite. My least favorite is it.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. And you know, it's obviously super powerful, but I don't know. It's just not. I don't care about instants and sorceries. Give me giant monsters.
My least favorite is Simic, I think.
Ooh, hey, get out of here.
Your least favorite?
Hashtag easy mode. But yeah.
It's, I don't know.
That is a rabbit hole of a conversation I could sink into.
It really is.
We've done it before.
Now, we are running long, super long.
Super long.
Now, you said, Andy, you have some roommates that want to go to sleep. What?
Yeah, that's true. I do.
I would love to get you guys back on.
Yeah, I know. I feel
I know. I could talk for another hour or two about all this stuff.
I know.
Let's book another one sometime then.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. And we'll have to trade. We'll have to appear on your show.
Yeah, totally.
Let's not do it in the English way where you say to someone, we must meet up again, and that means in English, I will never speak to you again.
No.
Boop off.
Yeah, boop you boorish pig.
Or the Japanese version, which is, I'll think about that. I'll consider it.
I'll consider it. That's just blatantly passive aggressive. Yeah, I'll consider it.
Yeah, I think back to all the times I've heard that now from Japanese people, and I'm like, oh, God, I've been blown
off. They just called me a
boop.
Everyone, we're going to do a not done it for a while, but we're going to do one of our old segments, Wheel of Walkers. Are you guys familiar with the rules of Wheel of Walkers?
I am.
I'm going to ask Tabaris to see if he's actually listened to the show before.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I have. I know no full names of planeswalkers, so I'm going to be awful at this.
Okay, as there's only four of you, as there is four of you, we're only going to do one planeswalker each. So your points count, and stealing from opponents counts. So just quick reference for the people at home. I'm going to spin the Wheel of Walkers. When the player stops, they can ask for a hard, easy, or medium question. I give them the Planeswalker ability. If they can tell me which Planeswalker it is, they get one, two, or three points respectively.
Just make it a hard question every time. Everybody says hard.
Okay, I'll just pick a hard one. So it's 3 points, 1 point for a steal.
That's not fair.
Nate is the reigning champion at this by some considerable distance. So we'll start with Nate to set the pace, shall we? So I'm going to spin the Wheel of Walkers. We're spinning. Tell me when to stop, Nate.
Stop.
Okay, Nate. Until your next turn, creatures you control get +1/+0 and gain lifelink.
Come on.
Phil always
speaking of Orzhov. That sounds.
Is he going to get the right one, though?
That sounds like a very sad kind of Orzhov planeswalker. Maybe,
but is he at home or is he on holiday?
No, I think he's visiting. He's sad and he's visiting. Soren, solemn visitor.
Correct, sir. 3 points to Nathaniel. Even though that's not his
name. Ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
Okay, we're going to throw it to a Canadian now. I'm going to send Tabaris his one via the Shaw Network. So beep 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 beep
ready?
Beep 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 beep. What one's that?
Sean? Okay. Koth of the Hammer.
It was Koth of the Hammer. Three.
Yes.
No, I joke. Right, I'm going to spin the wheel. Tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Okay. Right. So we're going to go for a hard one here. These are all super easy. You got a pass on this round, Sean. Okay, we're going to go with draw a card for each green creature you control.
There's no such thing as a pass for me. I'm going to say... This is Garrick of the Hunt.
All right, who's going to buzz in? First
me.
Okay, Andy. We have to have the exact name of the card, by the way.
Oh, no.
Garrick
I don't
of the
know.
Great Hunt.
It's, never mind. I don't know.
Oh, he gets... Nate's buzzing in.
I think it's a pirate-looking elf.
It is a pirate looking elf.
Fraelis Llanowar's Fury.
Oh, Nate's taking a 4-0 lead. Okay, we're going to throw it to Phil now.
I can only think of Titania. I was like, no, that's not her name.
Okay, right. You ready for this, Phil? We're spinning the wheel.
Yes, I'm ready. Okay, stop it.
Okay. We have stopped. I let it spin for a bit longer then. Hard one. Untap up to one target creature and up to one target land. To +1 ability.
Wait. Untap. Oh, that's
I need the exact
Kiora, name. Master of Waves.
It's Kiora, Master of the Depths, Phil.
Oh, boop. Modern.
Okay, now I'll give Phil 3 points for that. So, to not come in joint last with your Commander's Brew brethren here.
Okay.
Mr. Hull.
You've got a lot
riding on your shoulders. You've got Pod Pride riding on your shoulders. You ready for this?
Ready for that.
Wheel is spinning. The wheel is spinning. Oh, okay.
You're stopping a little bit later than we've been saying.
That's how I do it.
Okay, right. Okay. So it's a plus one ability. Look at the top two cards of your library. Put one of them into your hand and the other onto the bottom of your library.
Oh. Sounds like a Jace. Look at the top two, put one in your hand and one in the bottom.
Bottom of your library.
Bottom of your library. Is that Jace? Jace the Mind Seeker?
You mean Jace the Mind Sculptor, right?
Sure, Mind Sculptor. Yes, that's what I meant.
It is not Jace the Mind Sculptor. Anyone care to buzz in?
Is it? Oh.
Boop. No, you're locked out, sir.
I know.
I'll buzz.
Oh, go on, man. Go on, then, Sean.
I also think it's a Jace. I think it is Jace the Deep Intellect.
For sure, not even anything. I think I know it now.
No, it is not. I'm buzzing Jace in. The Deep Intellect. Phil, Nate.
I'm buzzing. Jace, Architect of Thought.
Incorrect. Nate, save the day.
What's the number?
It, Nate.
It's a plus one ability. Look at the top two cards of your library. Put one of them into your hand and the other onto the bottom of your library.
If he doesn't get it, can I steal again?
Yes. I'm gonna let you steal if everyone else.
It's not Jace the Mind Sculptor?
It is not Jace the Mind Sculptor. Jace the Mind Sculptor casts Brainstorm. That is not a Brainstorm. It's close, but it's not correct. A Brainstorm.
Hmm. Nor is it Jace of the Deep Thought or Jace Architect of Thought. Deep Intellect, right?
Teferi? Temporal Archmage?
It is Teferi, Temporal Archmage!
Oh,
damn it.
Shame on all of you who got that wrong. That is a Commander-specific card.
I thought it was going to be Jace the Living Guild Pact. I didn't know twice.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a minus point for that then, Andy.
Whenever I'm listening to this show, I'm so good at this game, and here I totally bit it.
Is it like going on a real game show? It's easy at home, but when you actually get with the cameras on you, the pressure's on.
Exactly. Pressure's on, yeah.
So that is Nate winning 5-3-0-1.
Great.
Good round, Nate.
Wow.
Great.
Yay.
Good round.
That is a horrible game. It's maybe the worst game I've ever heard.
Planeswalkers aren't budget cards.
Yeah, exactly. We're not familiar with that stuff. That's out of our realm.
Challenge to you guys. I want to hear a brew with Tybalt in it.
Oh,
okay.
We should do a Planeswalker episode, hey Sean?
Yeah, for sure.
Because there are a bunch that are fairly cheap. So yeah,
Architect of Thought, like a cheaper friends deck.
But if I want to live in this house any longer, I've got to go.
Okay, we need to do the quick wrap up then.
Sure. Yeah.
Thank you guys. It has been absolutely wonderful having you on the show. I hope that you are willing to come on again soon, and sooner is always better. In fact, if we want to do a regular show with five hosts. No, that's a crazy idea.
What we should do is have only four hosts, but then maybe play around the concept of five people.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
But seriously, you are a true pleasure. It's been wonderful having you on. We love your show. We're huge fans. And
vice versa.
Vice versa for sure.
Well, we're happy to hear that. I know I was super giddy like all day. I'm like, oh my God, it's tonight. And now, obviously, we'll include all the links to your show and you know, in the show notes. Is where else can people find you on the internet?
I am on Twitter at Andy Hullbone, and you can find me occasionally writing articles on Brainstorm Brewery. They're mostly comedy-type stuff, but they do contain decks. So same type of thing, budget stuff.
Excellent.
Yeah, and if you want to do like non-magic stuff, check me out at Sean Tabaris on Twitter.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
Phil, how do you feel about our listeners?
We love our listeners. Please don't take offense that we're kind of ending the show as rapidly as we can here. Special thanks to all of the listeners who've gone to our Patreon and pledged to us. That's wonderful to see that support. It's really helping us like look at new equipment and all sorts of fun stuff there. Our theme song was made specifically for the podcast by Mr. Nate Burgess. Our logo was created for the podcast by Mr. Picto, who can be found at mrpicto.co.uk with assistance from Kelly DeLuca. Little nepotism there. Special thanks to our tech whizzes, Jesse Thompson and Graham Frank, and to Justin for his server space. Yeah, that gets cut almost every week. Someday it won't.
That's great.
You can reach us by going to our website, which is commanderandmtg.com. Our email address is cass@commanderandmtg.com. And you can find us on all the social medias and a bunch of places where podcasts can be found by searching for Commander and MTG Podcast. And individually on Twitter, I'm at KetJack.
I am at Copain26.
I'm at Mr. Plorg.
Thank you again, guys. And Sean, ask them.
I'm going to go randomly with Sean because you're in the spy network. I want you to do your best impression of one of the commander in hosts and just maybe improvise a skit where you tell everyone that's our show.
On a bus.
But the show is on fire.
And here's the twist. You don't have any money to pay for it, but you do have a pass to the local zoo.
Oh boy. And
I want you to include the words.
Or just say the words.
I want you to include the words austere command in it. Just say, and that's our show. Maybe in a Cockney accent.
I was going to try Nate.
Oh, go for Nate.
Oh, yeah. Do Nate.
Nate saying, and that's our show.
And that's our show.
Oh, that's brilliant.
There you go.